look forward to what you're going to bring us this morning on Jesus and his close relationships, one of which I imagine was with his mother. So I look forward to your thoughts, Jane.
Right, okay. Great. Oh, hi, everybody. Thanks so much. Thanks, Louise. I asked Louise what she would like me to talk on because I kind of saw this one. I thought I'd love to do it. I thought there's probably mothers who are much more worthy than I. Anyway, she said, I think this would be a good one for you to do. So I thought, well, if Louise has asked me, then I'm going to rise to the challenge and do it. So here we are. I just want to honour mothers today. I think we've been doing that anyway, but I just wanted to really focus on, just before I start, on not our birth mothers necessarily, but all those we know who have a mother's heart, who've been spiritual mothers to us and who've ministered to us and cared for us. I just think it's a lovely thing. I sent two cards today. My mum's not here anymore, but I sent two cards to ladies I know who've been like mothers to me over the years, just appreciating them. And then one year, my goddaughter rang up and said, thank you so much for all the mothering that you've shown me. So it made me think, wow, mothering's just much more than being a birth mother, the spiritual mothers. I have young friends who are almost like mothers to me as well sometimes. So it's not even an age thing. It's just really sometimes people have a mother's heart just when we need it. So anyway. So yeah, I just want to say, if you see a bandage on my chin and you're thinking, has Mark not told Jane that she's got a sticky plaster on her chin? I had a fight with the pavement and the pavement won.
Not with me.
So not with Mark. So anyway, it's just... oh, it's a facelift, actually. I'm trying to lift my chins up. Anyway. Anyway, I just thought it was a perfect day to look at Jesus and his close relationships. And the great news is, that Jesus loves, enjoys, and delights in relationships with God, with his family, his disciples, his friends, children, and us. And so I just want to kind of wind the clock back a bit and go back to the beginning of time before the world was created and look at what people call the divine family. Or there's a book called the Divine Dance of, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I believe that family was in God's heart before the world was created, family and relationships. And in Ephesians, it says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So, hang on a minute, the computer's gone, funny.
Keep going.
Okay, I don't know. I can't see anybody now. The screen's gone blank, but anyway.
We can see and hear you, James.
Oh, that's fine. Okay, I'll just keep going.
Keep going.
Mark's trying to sort it. The divine family, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We see hints of this in Genesis 1 and the old unfolding revelation through the Old Testament, through the family of Abraham. So at the heart of the universe is a family and is relationships. Oh, hang on, our computer. Oh, sorry, I'll just keep going.
Keep going.
Yeah. I just wanted to talk too, we've touched on it this morning, about God's mother heart. And God pays a wonderful tribute to motherhood in Isaiah as he refers to his love for Jerusalem as a mother's love, which is what David touched on. And it says here, her children will be nursed at her breasts, carried in her arms and held on her lap. I will comfort you there in Jerusalem as a mother comforts her child. Isaiah 66. Or later, Jesus talks of Jerusalem as a hen gathering chicks under her wings. So we see in the heart of God is family and is the mother heart. And Jesus was born into an earthly family. His lineage went back to King David. The way was prepared for him through family. Woohoo, we're back. His lineage went back to King David. The way was prepared for him through family. So again, it was relationships. And Jesus grew up in a family. Bumps, bruises, and the banter of family life. I mean, we can all relate to that. And it was a very real, living, vibrant family. So John the Baptist, to put it in context, was his cousin. Elizabeth and Zechariah would have been his aunt and uncle. and he had four brothers and sisters. It says they were saying he's just a carpenter's son, and we know Mary, his mother, his brother James, John, Simon, and Judas, and all his sisters live right here among us. So we know that Jesus was part of an earthly family, very grounded, and he had relationships with all of those brothers and sisters. And we know that later James went on to be leader of the church in Jerusalem, and Jude wrote a book of the same name. So, it's just, and it says his sisters, so we don't know how many sisters he had, but it's great. And we know that Jesus worked with his father Joseph and learned to be a carpenter. And so obviously he must have had a good relationship with his father. He was trained by his father and followed in his footsteps. And also we see the relationship he had with his mother Mary at the wedding in Cana, when she pleaded with him to help when the wine ran out. And I don't know why there's all sorts of theological discussions, I'm sure, about why he said, my time has not yet come, and yet she still said to do it. Did she propel him into his ministry? But it just made me smile, because on Mother's Day, I thought, sometimes mum knows best. And I thought, young people, take note of your mum and do what she tells you to do, because sometimes she knows best. So I don't know if that's a theological answer, but certainly on that day, he listened to his mum and did his first miracle. So it was a very special day, and his mother was right there prompting him and pushing him forward. And Jesus chose his disciples as well to be with him during his ministry. They were his friends, but I think they were also like a family. But there's the friendship aspect that comes out in John 15. He says, I have called you friends. And, you know, he shared so much with them. And he washed their feet. He loved them. He served them. And so that relationship must have been full of all sorts of dynamics and fun and frustrations and wondering if they would ever get who he was and what he was really teaching. But there was a real commitment, a real sense of family with the disciples. And we also hear about John, the disciple who Jesus loved. And does it mean that he didn't love the other disciples? Again, you know, we can look at it and look at different opinions. It says that John leant and rested on Jesus at the table, and there was obviously a special tenderness and trust between them. And he had his close group of disciples, Peter, James, and John, and John seems to be the loved disciple. I think the relationship was there for all the disciples to have with Jesus, to come and lean on him, to rest into him, to be close to him. And maybe John saw who Jesus really was, and because of that, he felt able to draw closer. Or maybe Jesus liked him better than the others. He got on with him better. I don't know. But I just wanted to, because sometimes you can read that and think, well, if Jesus loved one more than the others, what does that mean for us? You know, if he had a favorite. And I had a picture once when I was struggling with this of a teacher in a classroom, and all the children were sitting around her and they were listening to her tell a story. And actually, it was probably God, it was a teacher. And when God looked at me, there was a spotlight on me and everybody else was in darkness. But God looked at everybody and there was a spotlight on everybody. So everybody was special and singled out and unique and loved. And yet that's how he saw everybody. And only God could do that. So that was just, I don't know if that helps anybody, but just that God has chosen us all and loves us all, wants us to choose him and be close to him. So anyway, Louise has got a clip now that I want to show. It's from a series. I don't know if anybody's seen it, called The Chosen, which is, if you haven't seen it, it's so good. It's what I would call a sort of sandals kind of Jesus story, you know, and I've had seen so many sandals Bible stories, you know, but this one is amazing. It goes into the relationships Jesus has in just a wonderful way. And it's a very short clip, but if you look for it, there's a little clip with Jesus and the children. There's a clip when somebody runs up to him and he picks them up and hugs them. And that's actually his mum when he arrives at the wedding in Cana, and she sees him and he runs up and hugs her. You see him interacting with the disciples, and you see him interacting with Mary Magdalene. And I think it just brings the humanity of Jesus right, you know, makes it so real. But it also just shows, I don't know. I've just found it the best thing I've ever seen. So here we go.
Let me tell you a story. You think that impossible things can happen?
Miracles.
I
never forget what I saw.
I'm so sorry, I don't actually know your name.
I'm Jesus.
Are you dangerous?
Maybe to some.
I saw him. It was incredible.
I need to know if we have a problem.
The man claimed to be God. False prophecy.
Again, I ask you, is there a problem? The so-called miracle worker?
Jesus of Nazareth.
Apparently something good can come from Nazareth.
Throw me like a stone in the water, watch the mud rise up.
If we're going to have a question and answer session every time we do something you're not used to, it's going to be a very annoying time together for all of us.
Should've known we'd bring trouble, trouble gonna find you here.
There are righteous men on the lookout for you, and they are weighing every word you say.
Trouble.
That's not for you.
Trouble.
This is different.
Get used to different.
We didn't choose him.
He chose us.
I see you.
Trouble.
Oh, I really don't like that man.
Follow me, and you'll see more.
Was one way, and now I am completely different. And the thing that happened in between was him.
And so it's time.
Let's go.
Right. So I hope you enjoyed that. I just think it just gives a lovely little few little snapshots of Jesus. Obviously, it's somebody's interpretation, but I just found it wonderful, really inspiring. When we look at Jesus' friends as well, we come to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus in Luke 11, and it talks about when Mary and Martha opened their home up in hospitality and friendship and became close friends with Jesus. And that's just a lovely thing that he had the disciples, but he also had friends outside that circle. And when Lazarus died, Jesus wept. He felt grief and compassion at the loss of his friend. And maybe he knew he was going to come back to life again, but in the moment of feeling the loss and connecting with his friends around him, he felt that grief. And just shows how much he loved Lazarus. And then later on, it talks about Mary pouring expensive perfume on Jesus' feet before he goes to Jerusalem and anointing him for burial. And I think, again, here we see a demonstration of a precious friendship, deep love, worship, and devotion to a close friend. That she actually sacrificed and gave so much and did something that was extremely special and for Jesus. So we see that depth of friendship and what they've gone through together. And I don't know if you noticed in the little clips that we just shown, there was a picture of the children around Jesus. And they say, "Are you dangerous?" And he says, "Some people think I am." And I think it was just lovely touch. And we read in the Bible how Jesus was angry with the disciples sending the children away, and how he brought them in and he sat them on his knee and he said, "The kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like children." And I think Jesus really did have a very special place in his heart for children. And I think that's kind of for all of us today, for children, young people who are among us. God really has a very special place for you, and you are very much on his heart, and he wants to draw you in and draw you close. And young people and children are very special and very important to him. And we also read about Jesus withdrawing to a quiet place to pray, that he actually drew aside to be with his heavenly Father. So he had that close relationship as well, which energized him for all the everything else he did for his ministry. I think he liked to draw aside with his Father. He wanted to connect with him. He chose solitude, and he knew he needed that time with him to draw strength. And everything Jesus does is out of relationship and rooted in that intimacy with his Father, in that intimate time when he drew aside with him. And finally, I just wanted to mention Jesus and women, because Jesus was very countercultural in his relationships with women. And from that clip, we see his interaction with Mary Magdalene. And then he also is talking to Peter's wife, Peter the disciple, and he says to him, "I see you." And, you know, he saw women. That was very much, he saw women. They weren't just overlooked as they very much were in society at that time. And we see that Jesus lifts up women. He lifted up the woman caught in adultery, the woman at the well, the woman healed of bleeding, and he restored Mary Magdalene. So we know that he had very unique relationships with women as well in his time and culture. We think of Mary, his mother, Mary Magdalene, Joanna and Susanna, Mary and Martha. So he had, you know, healthy relationships with women as well, and really reached out to them. And at the crucifixion, after everybody else had left, Mary Magdalene, his mother Mary, and her sister Mary, and John stayed. And they were with Jesus as he was dying. And in his final moments, Jesus looked down and said to John, his loved disciple, "Here is your mother," and to Mary, "Here is your son." And I just think it's an incredible, beautiful moment of tenderness. And it shows the depth of love for his mother, as well as obviously heeding to the culture of the day, being the eldest son. He had to pass on the care of her to somebody, to you know, when he'd gone. But he the way he did it, you know, saying to John, "Here is your son," and to Mary, anyway, whatever, that way around, I just think is really special and just shows in the heart of God his you know, a real deep love for mothers and for John. So just sort of touching on all those relationships, and I just wanted to share a personal story as I'm finishing up, that I hope encourages you, inspires you, and just shows that how at the very heart of God is family, is relationship, and is intimacy and love. My mother Shirley was a wonderful lady. She was loving, warm, vibrant, creative, and had a great sense of humor. Championed women. She was a gifted speaker and storyteller and hospitality queen, not to mention wife, mother, and grandmother. And she was also a spiritual mother to many. We enjoyed many fun and special memories, plus the usual ups and downs of mother-daughter relationship. I remember standing in a shop once when we went shopping, and I was trying on clothes, and all I did was keep throwing them out over the top of the changing room because nothing was right. She kept going back to get me more stuff, and I kept chucking it out. And in the end, I think she just gave me the money and said, "Sort it out yourself." So, oh dear. Anyway, I'm sure we can all relate to that in different ways. But because of extended periods of separation in my early childhood, our bonding and connection was affected. And I think over the years, the feelings of loss and pain were never fully recovered. And in my mum's heart was a deep longing for greater closeness, and on my part, a withholding, as I was fearful of the emotions and what opening up my heart to her would be like. Could I cope with it? So there was always this tension of her wanting more and me holding back, and what was in between. There's a sort of, yeah, we just didn't go there. But God answered the cry of both our hearts, because his desire is for relationships and restoration of relationships, and answered in a remarkable way, even when it looked too late. In my mum's last 2 years, she was bedridden, immobilized with grief and a broken heart after my dad, her husband, and her sister died on the same day. She almost died, but was brought back for a while longer. And the following 2 years were beautiful, challenging, painful, and sweet, as she lay mostly quietly in her bed, longing to go home too. God showed me that he was still creating the final picture for her and me. And although it looked a mess, he was in control, and with his purposes and timing, it wasn't easy, but I held on to that picture. As my mum lay into the stillness, very gently came healing and deeper love. We never spoke of the past, but it didn't matter. The present was sweet, without the demands or needs of everyday life or the pain of memories, just being together. She was the mother I longed for, and I hope I was the daughter she felt finally close to. In a time of extreme physical difficulty, God did something very special. On her last day on earth, the whole family was with her, showering her with love and deep affection and appreciation. The picture was complete. I know when I see her again, it will be as the mother and daughter we were fully created to be. So just to come back to the beginning, the Bible is a beautiful love story birthed in the Trinity, and flowing through it, we see God's love for us. that is expressed and realized in relationships. Jesus is longing for greater intimacy, relationship, and friendship with each of us. And flowing from that deep love, we can enjoy rich relationships with our families and friends. And this is his heart for us.